Hello, friends. I am Cindy Thompson, and this is a Resilience Project. This is a space where stories are shared and possibilities are discovered. I invite you to partner with me in cultivating resilience among humans, one conversation at a time. I would suggest this episode is a story of hope, of becoming, and overcoming. Hilma Yates, who is the author of Dissolving the Anchor, is one of those people who elicited all the feels as I met with her and listened as she read one of her poems. There is something very moving to have an author read her writing out loud. I invite you to sit quietly and listen as she reads this particular poem near the end of our conversation. I promise you it is worth taking the time to sit quietly and allow yourself the space to connect to her message. It is often through our challenges that we discover our strengths. Contemplating suicide as a teenager, Hilma provides us with a wisdom that comes from facing that pain and in discovering all that she has to offer this world. When we are struggling with depression, we will believe the seductive lies because depression is very convincing. This lens impacts how we view ourselves and the world. In this episode, we are talking about finding ways to end the pain you might be experiencing without ending your life. It is in allowing the growth, honoring ourselves, and growing our resilience practice so that you can eventually learn who you are and all the gifts associated with your being. After a suicide attempt, Hilma wanted to stop feeling numb, sad, and angry at the world. When life's challenges anchored her down, emotional distress kidnapped her spirit. She needed to rediscover her power. To change her life, Hilma faced the sources that birthed her fears, shattered her self-esteem, and created her self-sabotaging behavior. Stay tuned, folks. This lady has a lot to offer. Hilma, thank you so much for being here on a Resilience Project.
Cindy, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm excited to dive into this conversation because you have been writing a book called Dissolving the Anchor. And as an adolescent, I understand that you really struggled with some depression. And would you tell us more about that beginning of your story? Because I think I want to understand where you've been coming from.
Yes. Growing up, I was born in Wichita, Kansas, and my mother needed to leave a marriage that definitely wasn't working. And we ended up moving back here to Denver, Colorado, where I currently am. We moved in with her parents. And in this house, there was 11 of us. I was the youngest. So it was my grandparents, my aunts, uncles, cousins, my sisters, and my mother and I. And being the youngest, my cousins and sisters, they ended up building a relationship with each other. So I felt as though I was unwanted. They would include me every now and then, but for the most part, I felt like I didn't have anybody. And my mother, she was always working. So I was hanging out with my grandmother a lot. And then I definitely made friends with kids in the neighborhood and at school. So I had that. And I felt like people valued my friendship outside of the house. But growing up, of course, you're going to want to fit in with your family. And I just didn't feel like I ever fit in with them. And that was hard for me. And then also growing up in that house, my grandparents were wonderful people who would let people come in and out of the house. They were people who were out in the community making a difference. And there would be people who would come into the house who would have certain issues. So I witnessed drug use. I witnessed alcohol use. I witnessed fighting. There's just a lot that I witnessed. And there were some times where I just didn't feel safe in that house. And my mother did end up remarrying. And we ended up moving into a community where there wasn't a lot of ethnic diversity. Okay. And so growing up with that, I already didn't feel like I fit in with my family. Then I ended up feeling like I didn't fit in outside of it either. I did make friends, but I definitely experienced microaggressions, blatant racism. I wasn't asked out on dates. It continued to grow where I felt unloved, unwanted, and I just started to lose having a sense of worth. I ended up going to substance use myself, thinking that that could be a way where I could feel better. And I did feel happy for a while, but it ended up making me just numb. I was, you know, just trying to escape and avoid what was going on. And I just started feeling more empty. And I got to a point where I couldn't rationalize there being a reason to keep being here. So I ended up attempting suicide. And what came out of that is my grandmother ended up having me meet with a spiritual guide. And that person told me that when you have a purpose, when you know your purpose, it gives you a reason to live. Now, I was 16. At that moment, I had no idea what my purpose was, and I continued trying to figure it out for years to come. It had me realize, okay, well, who am I and what can I do with my life? And I can't keep living this way because it hurt too much to live that way. I didn't want to take my life. I realized I do want to try and be here and figure out what I could do to live. So I just took years for me to try and figure out who I am and not who others expected me to be. So I was just trying to figure out who I truly was and what mattered to me so I can live life and be happy. I've used everything that I've gone through to help build me up and grow. And that's why I also wrote this book. I wanted to have people realize what they have within them to be able to manage and overcome adversities, to know that they matter, to emotionally heal from certain experiences, and just know that they have the ability to create the kind of life that they want to have and how they can do that. That's what I do with my work. Just I want people to value themselves, and I want them to be able to value other people as well. So I do what I can in order to provide tools that allow people to know what they have within them to value themselves and other people.
Well, and what I know is that often it is from our personal experiences that we do find inspiration to make a difference for somebody else, not wanting anybody else to have to go through that or to grow others. I can hear that theme. Can I just circle back for a moment? Because it really stood out for me, that sense of wanting to belong, wanting to be part of a community. And so often in that stage of adolescence, people don't always have yet that resiliency practice. They haven't really fully developed their brain hasn't fully developed, and they don't have the coping skills necessarily. It isn't that they really want to die. It's that they don't want to cope with those feelings in that moment.
And that's the thing. Like, you could just be going through so much pain and you don't know what to do and you don't feel like it's ever going to go away. And maybe there's things you've tried and you feel like nothing's working. I just couldn't take it anymore. And I just felt like there was no other way out. And so I felt like if I was to take my life, that would end my pain. And I finally realized how to end my pain without taking my life.
Yes. Oh, perfect. And if only we could give that message to every adolescent that is going through those dark moments, because it doesn't feel like it's going to end. And yet it does. And I noticed that in the excerpt that I read, you really quickly realized you didn't want to die, even in your attempt. And that really stood out for me as a message to parents who worry about their young people or young people that might be listening to this episode that might feel like that right now. But once you saw the people that were coming around you that cared about you, that you were starting to realize you didn't want to die.
Yeah, it definitely helped to realize that I did have people in my life who cared about me, because I did feel alone. And that was a huge reason for why I didn't want to be here anymore. But I also had to learn how to love myself. I had to learn how to be enough for myself instead of needing any external validation or anything from anybody else to fill me up. Of course, we want to have relationships and healthy relationships, but we need to have enough love for ourselves, because this is our life. This is our journey. And we definitely meet people along the way who can add to our journey and make it beautiful. But it was something I had to learn, is to not need that from anybody else, because I had to have it for myself.
So could you unpack for us how you started to learn that? What were some learnings along the way that provided that insight, or as you discovered more about loving yourself? How did that come about?
For the most part, I realized how much I was losing myself in order to be what I felt other people wanted, because I didn't want to be rejected. I didn't want to be criticized or judged or abandoned. And it was really when I was noticing the type of relationships that I was having and how it was not healthy. And, you know, I'd be around people who would be tearing me down, and you don't feel good about yourself. And sometimes their opinions became my own, and I thought it was my own thoughts. Just noticing that the relationships I was having weren't always healthy, and I was embracing those relationships because I didn't want to be alone. And wanting to make sure that I would be in healthy relationships, I had to know who I was, and I had to have enough respect for myself and who I am in order to be able to welcome and embrace people who were good for me. Because I was in a place where I didn't know who I was, and I felt like, you know, no one could possibly love me, that even when people were good to me, even when there were good people in my life, I would still push them away too, because I couldn't believe anyone could love me, and I couldn't believe I was worth it. And so I had to just know who I was by just being aware of what made me happy and how did I feel about certain situations, be able to speak my truth and share my voice and not silence myself because I felt like no one would want to hear it. when you're on your journey and just notice, is this really how you feel? Are you feeling this way because this is something you've experienced or something someone told you and you now accepted that as your reality? So it was just a lot of work on myself to realize who I was and what mattered to me and how I can be true to me and happy with my life and who I am.
Well, what a beautiful journey you've been on, and what a great message for most of us to hear, because I do meet a lot of people that are anxious about being alone. They are worried that people will leave them. And as we grow our confidence, you're right. I often think of it like cleaning house a little bit. We have to decide who are the people that are truly serving us well and helping us to be our best, and who are the people that might be dragging us down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You've been on quite a journey, Helima, and I wonder at what point did you realize that you also wanted to offer this up to help others?
You know, I was kind of doing it when I didn't know I was doing it. I mean, in life, when you have friends, of course, we all talk to each other. We share advice. But when I graduated high school, I was in plays that were dealing with life challenges. And then I was sharing my poetry and, you know, that dealt with self-esteem. And then I was also doing videos that related to like social issues. And then I started getting invited to speak at, you know, high schools and universities. And it was stuff I did on the side. I had no idea that this was something that I actually wanted to do for the rest of my life. And I was in that mind frame of, you know, to have a stable job, 9 to 5, work for somebody else. And it wasn't until 4 years ago that I started my company where I was like, wait a minute, I want to do this forever. I don't want this to be off and on. I don't want this to be a side hustle. So I started my company, Lovemark, because I was like, this is what I really want to do. This is what I'm passionate about. This is who I really am. So that's when it started about 4 years ago. I was like, yes, I will continue to do this.
Well, you can hear the energy around that because you're smiling, you're beaming right now. And then you know you're on the right track because you're doing exactly what you're meant to be doing.
Yeah, it took me a while to realize it, but I'm happy I finally did.
Well, that's exciting. I could hear the writing along the way. Even when you were an adolescent, you wrote a piece of poetry at that point when you thought you wanted to die. And it was another student that read it and could read between the lines and hear the message, which was pretty amazing. That was really important to you, that somebody got you even through your writing.
Yeah, and it wasn't even someone I knew. A few of us were hanging out and we would, you know, share things with each other, and she caught on. I was surprised because she didn't even know me, and she caught on and my friends didn't. And by feeling that way, it made me think, okay, they must not really care about me, you know, not realizing that we all have our own things we're going through. But I took it as they didn't even notice, and someone who didn't know me did. And so that drove it in even more that, you know, no one would care to know me. And it was interesting to have her notice it.
Well, and that can be part of the mindset at that time as well. If your mood is really low, how we see the world, how we think about the world is definitely, yep. I think of it as stinky thinking. We're in that negative mindset. But what I wanted to get to was your writing and what that has brought for you, whether it was the poetry back then or writing along the way. Tell me how that's played a role, if it has, in your resiliency.
Writing definitely has helped me to be resilient because it was my therapy. I didn't feel like I had anyone to talk to. So when I wrote poetry, it was my way to release what was going on inside, because sometimes I didn't know how to process what I was experiencing and what I was thinking and feeling. But for whatever reason, when I would grab a pen and paper and just start writing, it would come out and it would help me to realize how I felt about things and be able to process it and decide, well, what can I do now that I'm noticing this? So yeah, writing has definitely helped me in so many ways to be aware of what's going on within. We all have our own methods, but writing for me has definitely helped.
So at what point did you realize you wanted to write a book?
It was really about 2 years ago when I realized what I could do, because I was noticing how people were reacting to the workshops, how, you know, the feedback I was getting, how it was impacting them. And it had me realize what I could actually do with this book, what I could say and how I could create it to have it be effective for whoever is reading it. And so that's when it started, where I was like, you know what, I'm going to definitely do this book. And so it's got a narrative, it's got a poetry, and then art. So I commissioned art from artists all around the world, and they're just amazing artists. So I wanted to incorporate that in it too.
Wow, I love the combination. Well, and in other guests that I've had on, writing has been a part of their journey as well as a way of processing their thoughts, just as you said. And I wonder, Looking at your life now, where you're at, Helma, is there anything about your journey that surprised you?
Well, yeah, I would not have thought that I could be happy. For so long, I didn't think that it was something that I could achieve. And for me to be where I am now, where I just am finally at a place where I'm more consistently happy. Of course, I face challenges. Of course, I face down days. But I allow myself to feel the emotions. I wish more people didn't feel like being sad or crying or whatever was weakness. Like, I feel like when you're having emotions, be aware of them, allow yourself to have them, and then you can look towards the solutions to why you have these emotions. But yeah, I didn't think that I could be happy. And it's so nice to know what I can do to make sure that I'm creating the kind of happiness that I want in my life. Yeah.
And what a beautiful message, because it's not about things. It's not about material objects. It's about what you're doing as a practice every day to create that sense of well-being and perhaps a more steady mood of happiness and to be able to access it more readily.
Being able to access it, for sure. There was a couple things that helped me to realize that I can be aware of my autonomy to create the kind of life that I want. The two things that stand out so much, and I also share this in the book, but one of it was when I was trying to figure out my life again, figure out who I was, what I wanted in life. I was traveling, and so I was staying with a friend, and he told me that every day you wake up, you've been given another chance to make your life better. And I didn't really think about that I had a choice to make my life better. I was just kind of existing and things as they came to me, instead of realizing that I can actually be the one making choices, intentional choices that are going to create what I want in my life. That didn't register with me. So when he said that, that really stuck with me. And then when I went to Vietnam, there was a bunch of Vietnam vets that went with us. And there was one vet who I learned so much from. I learned a lot from all of them, but this one person in particular, I noticed every time someone asked him, "How are you doing?" he would say, "I'm great. Today's the best day of my life." And I told him, "That is fantastic. Like, I love that you say that today is the best day of your life." And he said, "Yes, it's better than the alternative." And for me, as someone who didn't want to be here, to hear that, I was, wow, I thought that was fantastic. And it was just another way to realize that when you wake up, it's a gift. And what are you going to do with it to create what you want in your life?
I'm glad you pulled that out, because you're right. A lot of people don't realize the gift that comes in just knowing you have a chance to change your thinking. And I often use the example of a remote control. Which channel do you want to be on? You could be on a channel that is lots of negative stories. It might be a news channel and it's bringing you down. So what channel do you want to be on, and that you get to choose your thoughts for that moment? And for a lot of people, especially guys, they like the remote control metaphor.
Yeah, that's, I like that. Yeah, we do need to be aware of what channel we're on, and what can we do to continue filling your cup of joy? You know, like, it's just, what are we watching that's continuously feeding us? What are we absorbing? So I like that.
You're welcome to use it. Well, and when you mentioned that particular person that you met in Vietnam, it made me wonder, are there people in your life that you have met that have been an inspiration or a mentor to you? In what way have they had an impact on your life?
I've met a lot of people along the way. I really don't have like one specific person who's been a mentor my whole life. I mean, thankfully, my mom, I can always call her if I need her and talk to her, and my husband. But for the most part, I've allowed myself to be open up to multiple mentors. There are just so much that we can learn from anybody at any age. I mean, I can learn something from a child. Like, it doesn't even, like, you don't have to even be older than me. You see how people see the world. You see how they present themselves and how they live life, being true to who they are. People like that, I learn from. I appreciate people who live their truth and they're being authentic, and especially people who are out there in the world uplifting others. Value that so much. Yeah. So I feel like anyone could be a mentor. I just learn from everybody.
Well, and sometimes it comes in those little bits of wisdom or a saying that you collect, just like that example, "Today's the best day of my life." And there's things like that that will stand out. A person and a saying might be just the thing you grab a hold of in that moment. And that, sometimes you're right, it's a collection. It may not just be one person, but there may be a number of people who have had an impact or influence. Helma, let's dive in a little bit to your book. One of the themes in your book is Dissolve the Anchor, how to transform a lifetime of self-destruction into a life filled with life, love, and purpose. I want to give you a chance to speak to it so that people will be inspired to go grab your book and read it from front to back.
Yeah, with Dissolving the Anchor, it's about being aware of what is your anchor. What is holding you back from being happy, from living the kind of life you want to live? So it's, you know, are you doubting yourself? Are you not believing you're enough? Do you not think you're beautiful? Do you not think you're capable enough? Whatever it is that is bringing you down, that's hurting you, that's keeping you in a place that you don't want to be, that is your anchor. And in order to dissolve it is understanding what developed it to begin with. What did you learn? What did you experience? What have people told you? What was harmful in your life that you experienced that is, you know, you're still holding on to this current day? So it's like, what can you release by forgiveness? And when you forgive yourself and forgive other people, it's not about excusing the act or the behavior. It's about releasing the control of all that pain and that guilt from weighing you down so you can finally move forward in life. So that helps with emotionally healing. And then also, what messages have taught you all that is holding you back with your doubts and not believing you're enough or you matter, whatever it is, what messages do you need to unaccept as truth? What messages are having you devalue yourself that you need to realize that this is not your reality? When you can do that, that is how you dissolve your anchor. And that is when you can continue to find out who you are, to move forward with that confidence of living your truth. And it's not always going to be the same. Sometimes it changes. Sometimes, you know, you'll be one way, then another way. You'll feel certain ways at certain times. But it's just being able to open yourself up to knowing who you are and learning as much as you can and growing in the direction that you want to grow in.
I can hear the importance of really understanding what those are first. And so once you identify them, I like the phrase unaccepted, because I pictured kind of like no longer you're defriending people on social media, you're letting them go, but you're unaccepting some of those cognitions and those beliefs that you've maybe held for a long time.
Yeah, because there's just so many things that we can go through in our life, or so many things that we can hear from other people. And sometimes we may not even realize that we're accepting it, that we're taking it on, and then it becomes our voice. It becomes the way we see ourselves when we look in the mirror. And so how you see yourself, where did that come from? Is this really how you feel? Is that really your truth? And so if you are devaluing yourself, if you're having self-defeating beliefs and behavior, if you're being self-critical, like any of that, if it's not helping you to be your best self or to be happy and to grow, if that's unhealthy for you, yeah, it's time to release that and not accept that as your reality.
Love it. So shedding the weight, letting go of your need for approval, which you're kind of speaking to, and you even talked about that even as a younger person, you had to figure that out, not letting others define you. What else would you like us to know about that piece?
Yeah, it is so important to not allow anyone to dictate your worth. As we've been sharing, you may accept certain relationships because you don't want to feel alone. And with that, you may be, you know, accepting certain language that becomes your internal dialogue, and you don't want anyone else to be tearing you down. And then you want to make sure you're not tearing yourself down. Yeah, we do need to be aware of just making sure that we're knowing our worth and we're not allowing anyone else to tell our story and tell us who we are.
Yeah, that's really important. And I'm so glad we're talking more about that right now. It's becoming even more of our language. Mm-hmm. And what I heard too in that is sometimes we're not confident ourselves. And so you're right, we tear others down because we think it's helping to build ourselves up, but it really is not. Mm-hmm. It's about harm reduction and to be just loving on each other, but also letting go of anybody that might be not valuing us as we deserve.
Yes.
Love that. Hey, so the other category is celebrate the power, ways to recognize your resiliency after surviving a dark period in your life.
Yeah, it's important to realize that we may go through things in life. Just realize you got through it. You survived it. Be aware of who you are and what you're capable of. And I know sometimes we could be hard on ourselves and feel like, well, we should have handled this better, or we shouldn't have let that happen to us. And what can you do now? And in moving forward, what can you do to make sure that you can maybe prevent certain things from happening again, or realize what you have within you to be able to manage certain circumstances? Yeah, I think it is important to celebrate our wins and realize that we have gone through stuff and we've gone through it, we survived, and we're learning and we're growing, and celebrate that. It's so important to realize the good that happens in our life and then what we're capable of, and realize that we are resilient.
Yeah, you're right. In fact, I did an episode with a theme of hindsight is 2020, that we learn about our strengths as we look back. And sometimes it's once we're through it that we realize those strengths that we had that we maybe didn't appreciate or even see, but we just kept swimming. We just kept working through it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what does your resilience practice look like today?
Well, currently, it's being able to envision what you truly want. For myself, I had to actually envision what I wanted. And so what I actually did was, because I actually was finally at a place where I'm creating the kind of life that I want to have, but there are still areas that I wanted to make some changes and I wanted to grow in and have certain things. So I actually, you know, got on my laptop and I just found certain images of what I wanted in my life, did it on my laptop. And when I see it, it helps me to realize that, like, this is what I want. And I know that I can have this. I believe in myself now. So I'm going to make sure that I'm doing each step that's going to get me there. So I have to realize, you know, my ability to make strategic steps. Am I doing what I need to do to get me what I want on that vision board? So that's what I've been doing to be resilient, is one, remembering who I am and what I'm capable of, and that I have a choice in what I do in order to make sure I'm creating the life that I want. And then having that vision board has helped me so much in realizing, am I still on track? Am I still doing the steps necessary to get me where I want to go? And that keeps me to stay on track and make sure I'm living the kind of life that I want to live.
Well, it reminds me of Stephen Covey talks about begin with the end in mind, which some of us have to learn. We often are immediate gratification kind of folks, and we just want to do what feels good right now. But like what you're talking about is picturing where you want to be. What do you want to bring into your life? What are your goals? And then what I hear is you're just looking at the steps every day that you're taking towards that.
I mean, I didn't want to just create the vision board and be like, oh, this is a dream. Like, that's not a dream board. It's something that I truly do want. And now that I realize that I can actually make choices that are going to have me attain what I want in life, I'm not letting anything stop me. Like, I'm not going to, like, if I have any doubts, I'm just like, you know what? I'm realizing I'm doubting myself, but why am I doubting myself? What am I anxious about? What am I afraid of? And I do what I need to do to ease those fears, realize what I've accomplished and how I've handled obstacles. And there's just so many things that we can do to make sure that we stay on track. So realize how to solve certain obstacles or any issues that are get in your way that can prevent you from going where you want to go in life. But yeah, just keep on moving forward and knowing what you want and that you can get there by intentionally making the steps necessary.
Well, there's a message of hope in that for the things that bring us joy, the things that bring us a certain satisfaction, a sense of purpose in what you're doing every day. I can hear that in your Love Mark business that you've started. I'm curious, where does the title come from for your business?
Well, because what we say, what we do, we're impacting our life and we're impacting other people's lives. I feel like if we're going to leave our mark in the world, then let's leave it with love. I feel like love is the most important thing in the universe and it's so powerful. And so I felt like I wanted to focus on love and have us be aware of what we can do to create it, to cultivate it, to sustain it. So I called it Love Mark because I want us to leave our mark in the world with love.
That's such a nice message. What a great name for your business. And I have no doubt that all that you're doing is touching each person's life and having an impact on growing that within them. I'm curious if you have a poem that might be a good one to share with our listeners.
And I know I want people to read the book, but I think I'm going to read the last one. That one, it means, well, they all mean a lot to me.
I bet.
But I definitely, yeah, I'm going to do that one. All right. Okay, it's called Counting. The first time I learned about counting being used to maintain order was from my mom. When we were kids running around, my mother didn't want us to break anything in the house or our bones. So even though it's a question, this was a statement when she would say, "Am I going to have to count?" This was her way of giving us the opportunity to calm down before playtime was over or be sent to our rooms to reflect. Yet when we couldn't hear her voice as it was blocked from a magical force and we continued to play our games, such as the ground was lava and we had to jump from one chair to a couch onto whatever other piece of furniture that could save us, mother's counting began. One, two. Then she gave that look, the look that says, "Don't make me get to three." You might not even know what's going to happen at three, but that look was enough. If we knew better, we would stop and become her angels again. There's something about counting and the different ways it's used for restoring order, for reaching a goal. Inventory, senses, votes, money, beginning and end of hypnosis session, dance steps, weight, calories, friends, anniversaries, days apart from loved ones, pros and cons. The types of counting that is predominant in my life is a counting that brings a release to internal chaos. We all have our different methods for keeping ourselves in control when we feel our foundation cracking. Some of us have the take a deep breath method. Some of us walk away to imagine ourselves in our happy place. I take a deep breath and count. This realigns my heartbeats and restores my mind with peace. One, two, three, four. Or depending on how deep I'm falling. One, remember you were born so you matter. Two, use everything that comes into your life to build you up. Three, forgive others and yourself. Four, choose to love yourself. You have everything to live for. The interesting thing is I find myself counting often. I can be overhearing an argument between two friends, whether neither one is listening to the core of the problem between the spaces of their hurt and insecurities masked in anger. As the dispute escalates, words may be said that cannot be unheard. Actions may take place that cannot be undone. I count because I don't want to revisit the times of being disrespected or being disrespectful. I count because I don't want to revisit my actions that I regretted before learning to use that as those past experiences as lessons, a time before I was understanding, able to forgive others and forgive myself. I count to remember that we are all functioning and reacting from our life-based experiences, interpretation of the given situation. So when I'm reminded that I am embracing anger instead of forgiveness, judgment instead of understanding, pain instead of healing, ego instead of truth, I count. One, two, three, four. But don't count out loud in public. People will think you're crazy. Except other counters who see and hear you, trying to restore your mind, spirit, and heart. They give that look, hope your day gets better. And it will until it doesn't. Sometimes I count what's out of control. One, rage boiling as differences are feared, hated, misunderstood. Two, schools shutting down, prison buildings going up, education versus incarceration, income versus freedom, money valued over life. Three, rights given and rights taken away when they aren't anyone's to give in the first place. Four, love being conditional, traditionals rational, same race, yes, same sex, no, interracial outcasts. My solution to one, love. Two, love. Three, love. Four, love. Wait, I have a five, which is actually an expansion of one. Five, news broadcast story after story of this group against that group, whether it's racial, political, or religious, or dealing with economic statuses, gender disputes, or sexuality battles, and the one-sided social media posts focused on their truth while invalidating the experiences and emotions of others. In the blood of our veins are centuries of our family's memories combined with our own, and who are we when their destructive presence rests in our soul to stay immortal? Children ingest lessons of hierarchical and conventional constructs, then grow to regurgitate learned emotions on chosen targets to continue this perverse cycle of habitually sustaining human disconnection and domination. So many of us have generated these confinements around our hearts and mistakenly call it protection, and gates fenced around our spirits block bridges to relationships. I start thinking when division was born, and since the inception, how many days have we been infected? All that we have ruined, and where the stains of hatred have left their mark spreading around the world. Then I'll meet with friends and reflect on the deadly conflicts around the perceptions of identities. Yet I don't want to be in the company of great thinkers where we have a dialogue about numerous issues of the world without offering any solutions, because we are just adding more negativity to the air, and the air is already so thick with smoke from fury burning through communities mixed with bones and ashes from the misperceived that I can hardly breathe. One, two, three, four. We cannot disregard the echoes of scars or new wounds forming today, yet we can heal the broken souls connected to us and build ladders reaching the unity of our generations tomorrows. One, to all of us who are persecuted for not fitting into the assembled conventional boxes, stay liberated. Two, be conscious of our actions and words dismantling bridges or building them. Three, If you accept the destruction of others as progress, how do you decide who needs to be destroyed for your advancement, safety, freedom, and serenity? We can put an end to preserving generational programming. 4, we can and need to be love, not to sweep problems under the rug, block ears to not hear cries, blind eyes to cover up bruises, to pretend the world has no blemishes kind of love, the real love that faces a source of turmoil, to overcome its influence so we may see all of us as human beings. When we speak of the honest love, we start to create peace. When we are genuine love, that is the cure. That unravels the strands tied to our descent so we can all be set free. This judgment of differences being flaws or something to fear has done more than poison our connection, as negative views others have of us can seep into our skin until we unconsciously see their image of us when we look into the mirror. What becomes of us when we accept the recycling perceptions that our worth can be measured and held captive in labeled coffins to where we don't know how to love ourselves? Whether it's our gender, race, creed, sexuality, social class, beauty, weight, age, what becomes of us when we allow images to diminish our value, actions and words to eclipse our confidence, and we search outside of ourselves to find our significance while we continue to make choices validating the illusion that we don't matter? What do we do when we feel like we are losing our breath, our happy place, and there aren't enough numbers to count through to heal us? I know what it feels like to be fading, feeling the indoctrinated world weighing me down, having me think I would rather be 6 feet underground, choosing between a bullet or a bottle of aspirin. Since I have been down in that empty space, and if you're currently there, I would love to offer you my self-glued together arms with cracks still visible but no longer breakable, durable arms to hold you up when you feel like you're falling. And have my vocal cords no longer bound in insecurity, speak resilient words, letting you know what it feels like to wake up without an anchor to your ankle, so every time you make it out of bed, that will not be your biggest accomplishment. But it's up to you to find your way. Any guidance we seek is within us, as our compass is etched in our soul to form a path leading us out of the maze of deception where we lose ourselves so that we can find ourselves again. Because we are all reaching for peace like fallen angels trying to find our way back home. Whoever ignored you, know you're relevant. Whoever spoke words to bury your soul until you felt invisible, know that you exist. Whoever convinced you that you weren't enough, know your worth. Look at your reflection and say, I love you. And no longer try to force those words into the ears of those whose hearts are closed to your affection when you keep embracing their rejection, because that's the only attention you've ever known. Look in that mirror. Tell the person who needs to hear it the most. Tell the person who has been craving for it so bad that you keep handing your frail heart into the hands of those who throw it against walls painted with their own neglected pain, thriving off their own broken mirrors, having the DNA of your memories drip onto the floor of forgotten purpose, where the shards from your shattered reflections keep cutting sparks when you dare to flare. Look in that mirror and say, I love you, until you believe it. Count everything you love about yourself. Stop counting those who made you feel invisible, silenced you, or became barriers to your flight, and start counting on yourself to not crumble in defeat. Start counting the times you stood back up or kept standing, faced your nightmares, spoke your truth, lived your truth, and turned I wish into I will, I did, I am, and turned please love me to I love me. Because that is where your strength is. That is where your courage is. That is where your power lives. That is who you are. 1, remember you were born so you matter. 2, use everything that comes into your life to build you up. 3, forgive others and yourself. 4, choose to love yourself. You have everything to live for.
Wow. Wow. That is awesome.
Thank you.
I got emotional.
Yeah, I am. I get emotional when I read that sometimes as well.
What a beautiful message. Gosh, your writing is just phenomenal. I think that poem, and I'm sure the others are similar in that you just need to sit and read the words and absorb it, because there's such a powerful message there of what you might be feeling. But how do you summarize that in a few words? You can't. There's just so much depth to it. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Yeah,
and I have
no doubt
the listeners will really appreciate hearing a taste of your writing. Is there anything we've missed? Anything you hope to share with our listeners as a message of resilience, or what you've been learning about yourself?
Go through life knowing that you matter. That to me is such an important message. I remember when people would ask, what would you tell your younger self? And I have always said this, and I continue to say it today, that I would tell my younger self that I mattered. Because when you know you matter, when you have a sense of worth, you're going to make choices that reflect that. And just realize that you matter and be kind to yourself, and moving forward, just realize what decisions that you can continue to make that are going to be creating a life where you can feel peaceful and happy and loved and just enjoy this life.
Beautiful message. And it's a practice. I guess I want the listeners to really know that, like you're doing, just put those practices into play each day. Here's my metaphor that I often use is a recipe. If we're going to make a cake and we know that there's certain ingredients that go into that cake, we're not going to question whether the cake's going to turn out because we just follow the directions. So I often think about how can we create our own wellness recipe, our own recipe for happiness, if you will. And what are those practices that you just start integrating each day? And you might build on it, but start with a few things and start somewhere. Because then if you continue to put those in every day, you know that that cake's going to turn out.
I love it.
And you're going to be moving more towards what you're aspiring to and finding you.
Yes, definitely. I love it.
It's fun to springboard off one another. This is great.
Yeah.
Helma, thank you so much for sharing your resiliency practice, the tools you've been learning, helping to make a difference among others. And we certainly need it right now as we continue to recover from a pandemic, as we try to find a new normal in our lives. But also, like you've identified, we're sometimes just continuing on our journey to grow and let go of some limiting beliefs and be able to find that sort of steady course of happiness more often.
Thank you. I have enjoyed our conversation. And once again, I appreciate you having me on your show.
My pleasure. At this point, we have released a number of podcast episodes, but there was something very moving in Helma's poem that really touched me to the core. Her writing has a way of speaking to so many aspects of life that we can all relate to. As Helma suggested in this conversation, when she was younger, she would push people away because she did not believe that she could be loved for who she is. This can reflect the lens that we are looking through at that moment in time and has a significant impact as we seek evidence of that negative story. This is an important conversation because it affirms the value in knowing who we are and no longer seeking external validation of what others want us to be. Here are some of the highlights from Helma's resiliency practices. Number one, writing has helped her understand what is going on inside and to gain a greater sense of what she is feeling. Number two, allowing herself to feel all the emotions. To be aware of them, allow yourself to feel the emotions, and then you can decide how to work through what is causing the emotion. I really like that. Number three, you have a choice every day to make your life better. If you saw the day as a gift, and if you allow it, this could be your best day of your life. Number four, I love how Helma has taken a different perspective on the anchor. In dissolving the anchor, you find out what is holding you back from living your best life. Which beliefs will you unaccept? Number five, shedding the weight. Do not allow others to define your worth or to tell your story. Number six, celebrate your power, finding a way to remember what you are capable of, your strengths and wisdom that has already assisted you in doing hard things. Number seven, envision what you want for your life while checking in often to be sure that you're still on track. And number eight, no matter what, you were born so you matter. So in conclusion, I have a few reflection questions for you. First of all, as you reflect on some of your hardest challenges in life so far, what strengths have you been most surprised by? Also, how many of these strengths then informed you or helped you in other circumstances since then? In addition, if you could identify yourself as a tree, what kind of tree would you be? Consider the kind of tree you might have been 10 years ago and how you might have grown since. Are you an oak tree with strong roots? Or maybe a willow tree that is easily tossed around in the wind? How about a balsa tree that is known for its strength and flexibility? Finally, drawing on Helma's invitation, I would like to ask you, in what ways are you going to leave your mark on this world with love? Thank you for listening to this episode of A Resilience Project. We would not be doing this podcast without you. If you or someone you know has an inspirational story or is helping to build resilience in their community, please email me at cindy@aresilienceproject.com. In fact, email me either way. I would love to hear from you. My hope is to feature an episode periodically on your letters of resilience. I'm very interested in hearing your story of how you have tackled hard things and what worked for you. With your permission, I hope to share some of these stories along the way with our listeners. Also, check out my website, aresilienceproject.com, to learn more about our amazing guests. Your presence here is important because together we are cultivating a village of resilient individuals. You are creating a space for their stories to be shared and a sacred space for learning to occur. I also have a favor. I would love for you to go to your preferred podcast platform, rate and review the podcast so that we will know how we're doing. I also would like to express my gratitude to the amazing team of volunteers that have jumped on board to support this project. You will find each of those beautiful people on my website on the team page. As you go about this week, I invite you to think about one way that you can continue to grow your resilient muscle. What is one thing you can start with today? See you next week.